One of my lifelong heroes, a 20-year congressman, worked with Ronald Reagan to fight abortion at a federal level. This is Congressman Bob Dornan. Bob, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Reverend Bob Enyart, for the rest of my life, I'm indebted to you. I got your documentary, Focus on the Strategy, that you gave me seven simple words that I will never look at another piece of pro-life legislation without saying those words.
But what are those seven words?
Seven words, and then you can kill the baby.
It's a bad law if it says, and then you could kill the baby.
And then you can kill the baby. If you do this, that real notification, your documentary, everybody in America who wants to be part of a good fight, they must get that documentary on the strategy.
Thank you, Bob Dornan. That was Bob Dornan, U.S. Congressman, fought for life for many years. We appreciate him and are thrilled with his endorsement for our video, Focus on the Strategy. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I just saw the photograph in yesterday's Rocky Mountain News of my son Dominic on page 4, Dominic Enyart, 6 years old, at an anti-abortion protest at the home of a construction executive trying to build the largest abortion facility in America right here in Denver in our own backyard. That's the Whites Corporation. So, hey, Dominic, great job at that protest. Good job for a six-year-old. And then yesterday got to be on KHOW Radio with Dan Kaplis for, what, about a half hour talking about our protest. That went very well. Thanks for all the comments about that today. And on the 5 o'clock news today, Channel 4, if you have the opportunity, tune in. I have been invited and should appear there as a spokesman for Colorado Right to Life about the Denver Public School Task Force and their recommendation to give out condoms, contraceptives, and Plan B, the morning after pill, the abortion pill, to young girls and guys, I guess, so they could be more sexually active. Now we have on the line one of my lifelong heroes, a 20-year congressman, worked with Ronald Reagan to fight abortion at a federal level. This is Congressman Bob Dornan. Bob, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, Reverend Bob, the honor, of course, to be with you, and I'm inspired by young Dominic. That is fantastic.
Isn't that exciting? Yeah, what a beautiful family we have, and we ask God to bless us as we fight this war that we're in.
My whole family is a blessing, too, that you would have five children, and my Sally and I have three girls, two boys. My older brother has five sons. My younger brother has four sons and one daughter. All 15 are pro-life. We haven't had anybody decide for the other side of the culture of death. And my 15 grandkids, those that are old enough, they're all pro-life.
How about your wife, Sally? Because with the Bush family, the Bushes, they're pro-life when they run for presidential politics. But other than that, they're pro-choice through their careers, as are their wives.
Well, it's very sad. Sally got to know Nancy Reagan pretty well. You know, when you go to a meeting, the wives tend to congregate together. She got to know Barbara Bush even better. When I found out that Barbara was behind the scenes pushing everything that was pro-choice for murdering babies in the womb, it really would depress me. I knew Nancy Reagan was undermining our cause. And,
well, Laura Bush also, during the campaign 7 years ago, I was warning the audience that she, of course, is pro-choice. And they went to a United Methodist Church in Houston, which that's Hillary's church.
Right.
And we contacted that church. They were very liberal. And it was just after the election she was interviewed, and she said, oh, yes, I'm pro-choice.
What she's stating is, I'm a partial feminist in this area. A woman should have the right to control her own body, which translates to she shouldn't have the right to kill her baby after it's out of the womb, but she can kill it a few seconds earlier when it's in the womb.
Hey, Bob Dornan, how about Ronald Reagan? Because a lot of people in the audience don't know this. We have a young audience also. This happened before they were around. But he signed one of the first permissive abortion laws in the country. And Ronald Reagan is a hero of mine, very pro-life. But in June of 1967, here in Colorado, it was April 1967, our Republican governor signed the nation's first law for abortion for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. Ronald Reagan signed a similar law in California as governor, new governor. So did he ever regret that? Because I know he became strongly pro-life.
Boy, did he ever. Bob, I got to be very close to Reagan because he reminded me of my dad. Not someone who you would say, oh, that's an intellectual. But then as the years go by, you begin to realize, boy, was my dad smart. Boy, was Reagan smart. Mm. And when all of his yellow legal tab diaries came out, all of his writings, people found out this was a man of substance. You know, Nancy, she had a little elitist strain to her. But Reagan really was a man of small-town America. His dad was an alcoholic, big, handsome Irishman. They lived above a little store in Dixon, Illinois. And Reagan, very young, because of all-American, that Middle Western voice, and a love for sports, he was a radio baseball commentator early on at a station in Des Moines, Iowa, and came to Hollywood on one of those famous $75 a week contracts when you could actually buy a car at $75 right. a week. And he never had the intensity of a Burt Lancaster, a Kirk Douglas, a Marlon Brando. So he never became what they call a double A. See, he was never a B actor. He starred in a lot of Warner Brothers A movies, but he was never the A-list top of the actors that could demand the scripts they wanted. But he made a good living, and his life was changed when he became the spokesman for General Electric. But he was a middle-class, middle-American, an instinctive conservative. He goes to Hollywood, fights the communists, sees all the corruption around Hollywood. His marriage falls apart with his wife, Jane Wyman. And he finally found Nancy, and so here comes this abortion issue. He becomes the governor, and Nancy, with her bizarre astrological chart, has him sworn in at 1 minute past midnight of the new year, 1967. 5.5 months later, he's presented this bill with a non-religious guy named Tony Bielenson, who I came to Congress with years later in 76. We both served 20 years there, but I could never get him to admit what he did to Ronald Reagan. Reagan signed that bill mid-June 67, and it was basically a rape incest bill, and as you have spoken so brilliantly, that is the floodgates. You open the floodgates. Mm-hmm. Reagan had a good term for it on 60 Minutes. I opened Pandora's box.
So now, Ronald
here's
Reagan.
The story that I told you I'd tell today.
All right, go ahead.
I know you and I are going to hunt down the 60 Minutes tape.
Yeah.
60 Minutes, and I'm watching it with my wife, Sally, alone. And here's Reagan, and it's Mike Wallace, and I knew he was friendly with Nancy and friendly with Reagan from the Hollywood days. So Mike says to him, just for want of a question that's a little better than Dick Cavett's, what's your favorite color? But he says, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made in politics? Everybody would like to know that about every politician.
Yeah, right.
And he said, well, and I turned to my wife and said, he won't answer that. He will say, which all of us politicians should say, I'll stay positive and leave the mistakes to my detractors to bring out. Before I could finish my sentence, he says, Mike, that's an easy one. The biggest mistake I made was when I was brand new governor about 5-6 months, I signed a bill, abortion bill. And, Mike, I didn't know much about the issue at the time. Now, when you get hold of it, you're going to find that, as with most memories, I've juxtaposed words and sentences and stuff. But you're going to see the essence here where he says it opened Pandora's box. Mike Wallace says to him, so you just think that's a life in there. He volunteered it. Hmm. And Reagan said, yes, I believe it's a human life.
Wow.
But Reagan's courage to bring out as the biggest mistake of his 8 years governor and 8 years presidency was that he signed a rape incest bill. That took a lot of courage. I've never seen the like of it ever since.
That is a great story, and I'm glad you might be the only person in the country, Bob Dornan, to remember that and to recollect that, and I'm thrilled that you did. And I read his book, A Conscience of a Nation, many years ago, 15 years ago, truly Ronald Reagan grieved over abortion and believed it to be perhaps the greatest evil of our time. And of course it is.
Pro-life was on his staff. They were in the minority because all the Bush people that came in the campaign were pro-abortion. I hate the term pro-choice because it's an unfinished sentence. Are you talking about education?
Right.
The parents should have a choice on where their kids are educated. What choice are you talking about? The choice to get in or out of the war on terrorism?
Mm-hmm.
They never finished that sentence, and it's become a code word. They just say choice, and the whole liberal left in this country knows you're talking about killing babies.
Right.
Awful. Finish the sentence, the choice to kill a baby in your womb or during the birth process.
Right, and of course that's the number one responsibility of government is to defend the basic human rights of its citizens, people in its borders. And so God's enduring command, do not murder, is the number one priority of any government. And for a government to actually say that you can kill unborn children and we will protect your right to kill children, that is a government that's utterly in rebellion against its role that it has from God.
Well, I don't want to give your great audience anything but hope and optimism, but I have to say this. You do not want to be a German who said, I shut my mouth during the whole 12 years of the Third Reich. I watched them kill retarded people first, then anybody who was a Jewish male. Then they started killing priests and ministers and Jewish women and babies and children and gypsies. They went nuts with their killing, and I hid out in my apartment and said nothing. Many of those people, and I met a cab driver once in Germany. She said to me, I should have died in the war. I said, why, were you a soldier? No, I should have spoken up against Hitler when he was killing millions of people and allowed them to kill me, too. I should have died with the millions. It'll haunt me till the day I die. Now, that's why we should be fighting abortion. But here's the bad news. I have a feeling after this last decision on partial birth, abortion, / infanticide,
right.
I have a feeling that the whole court is hopeless.
The whole U.S. Supreme Court. Isn't that...
Five Catholics on that court. I saw all the Clarence Thomas stuff when his wonderful book came out about coming from nothing and his great-grandfather. I think the word grandfather's in the title.
My grandfather's son, right?
I'm my grandfather's son. But he was on 60 Minutes. And you know what he said? That he believes it should be returned to the states. He said, I've never had the hardcore anti-choice position that's been attributed to me. I just think that Roe Wade is a bad decision, bad law, and that it should be returned to the states. How can an African-American say that? We didn't want to return slavery to the states.
Of course not.
620,000 dead Americans, most of the males all in the prime of childbearing years. We would have hit 300 million Americans 80 to 100 years ago if it hadn't been for killing all those people in the Civil War in a nation that was only 35 million people. So my wife looked at me and went, oh, no. And I knew exactly what she meant.
Yeah, and way back 15 years ago in the Casey decision, Clarence Thomas wrote that society has the right to favor abortion. If they weigh the right of the unborn versus the right to have an abortion, he says society gets to make that decision, and he would uphold that. So he has been, we have known and told our audience for many years that he is pro-choice. He does reject the God-given right to life, and he believes if the people pass a law to allow the killing of children, he would uphold that, that would be the right thing to do. The same thing is true with Antonin Scalia.
What it comes down to, I believe, is a fear of the feminist movement. See, all the women in my life, and I bet you can say the same thing, starting with wife and daughters and my mother and my aunt, every woman in my life has been a strong woman of strong opinion, involved in the world. This includes both my sister-in-laws, and they're all pro-life to the core. This feminist movement is more dangerous to our country than the homosexual collective, and I use that communist term because the cutting edge of the homosexual movement is a collective. It is a conspiracy within our society to break all moral codes and standards. But the feminist movement uses the homosexual movement as their Gestapo, their shock troops. I used to think it was awful of Rush Limbaugh to demean World War II by calling them feminazis, a term I've never used myself. Mm-hmm. I thought it demeaned World War II and it would cause an overreaction in them. But they do use activist, organized homosexuals, not the sad ones that suffer in silence and know that they're flirting with a shorter lifespan and constant danger of deadly diseases, sexually transmitted diseases. But this feminist movement has destroyed decency, virginity, purity, wholesomeness, goodness, modesty. All of that's been ripped out of our society by the feminist cadre saying, women, go pick up men, pass out your phone number, go to bars. You can go into a bar. You can hit on a guy at a party. And now we've got a great book out, Smart Sex, How to Live in a Hookup World. And it's destroyed. It's two generations of women out of the feminist movement. And the thing that is equally as destructive in this triumvirate of the homosexual collective, radical feminism, is what dominates Hollywood, the hedonist, porno, hetero culture that allows the feminists to get away with whatever they want and that ridicules homosexuals behind their back. Look at the androgynous gay duo on Saturday Night Live. Look at the Hollywood jokes. Because the Hollywood heterosexual hedonist scummy, a womanizing multiple divorce producer, he will say to you in private at a party, well, at least I'm not a homosexual.
Right, exactly. The double standard, the lies, the fraud. Here in Denver, we have a Denver Public School task force urging the schools to give out condoms and even the morning after pill, abortifacients. And I guess their desire is to make the whole process more efficient. So you send your daughter off to the Denver Public Schools, and then she is used sexually, and then the nurse will... she'll give the boys a condom, and then she'll give the girls abortion pills and get your daughter ready for the next guy.
Exactly. I've just had one of my grandchildren graduate from high school a year ago, and she was miserable because she could not find a decent boy. And the ones that she really got a little crush on and thought were nice, they'd eventually say, you know, when are we going to hook up? When are we going to bed and everything? And she'd tell them, no, I'm saving myself for marriage. And they would look her dead in the eye and say, well, can I at least have a blank blank?
Right.
The street term for oral sex.
Yeah, and this is partly...
She'd look at them and go, what? And even that little weirdo Bill Maher has said on his show more than once that, oh, I'm born in the wrong generation. I would love to be in high school now. Of course, he's hedonistically making fun of it.
And this is part of Bill Clinton's legacy where he said that this is not sex. And today... tens of millions of young people are growing up in a culture where through our public schools and Hollywood and MTV, they joke, this is not sex. It's expected that your daughter is going to put out that day at school.
When you said this is Bill Clinton's legacy, I have an old term from my youth, you know, give me a drum riff there. Give me a drum roll.
Yeah.
That is absolutely his legacy. And that's why to bring this sleazebag back into the White House, his first husband, is so creepy.
Yeah, it is. It is horrifying. But even with that, we don't want Christians endorsing child killers so that they could worship their new God, which is beat Hillary.
Very seldom did I have the enthusiasm to vote for someone like Ronald Reagan. Even Barry Goldwater, I knew, was committing adulteries. Lady Bird Johnson has admitted in her book, since he died, that she had to let Lyndon Johnson have affairs because, after all, he's a man. See how she was brainwashed?
It's just devastating.
All men. It's almost like girls are being raised today. And God help them if they don't have a father, which is more than three-quarters of the black population. And now the Latino population, with all of their great family roots, no matter how they got here, they're trending toward the African-American experience. And, of course, so is every shade of white American tending in the same way. We are now at the out-of-wedlock birth rate that the black community was at the time of the civil rights struggle, when they were seeking full freedom. We're on a real downward curve, and every time somebody says, God bless America, which I understand, I've said it all my life, love it, but I cannot help but under my breath say, God save America. Hmm. God bless America, God save America. We have got this culture of death, and guess what? You know who first used that term was Pope John Paul II. You know where he said it?
No.
In Denver.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The airport, the Stapleton Airport.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that'd be the old airport, right?
The culture of death.
The culture of death, hey. 93.
Hey, Bob, we only have 1 minute left.
Okay.
The time has flown by, and I got to head out of here to get to Channel 4.
Well, can I quickly, let me squeeze in then. Reverend Bob Anyard, for the rest of my life, I'm indebted to you. I got your documentary. Focus on the strategy that you gave me, 7 simple words that I will never look at another piece of pro-life legislation without saying those words.
But what are those 7 words?
And then you can kill the baby.
It's a bad law if it says, and then you could kill the baby.
And then you can kill the baby. If you do this, that real notification, your documentary, everybody in America who wants to be part of a good fight, they must get that documentary on the strategy.
Thank you, Bob Dornan. Hey, Bob, that's so exciting. It was a thrill to talk to you yesterday. We're having a leader summit out here in a couple weeks, and we're hoping that you could be a part of it some way.
I'm going to try and be part of it. There's nowhere else. Because God, as you may have noticed, and your audience who never heard of me before may have noticed, God has gifted me. It's a gift. Mustn't abuse it. With a forceful personality. Mm. I can come through the phone with forcefulness if I can't fly out there in person.
That's right. All right, Bob Dornan, God bless you. Please say hello to Sally.
Oh, God bless you, Reverend. Okay. I sure will. And to all your great family. And thank Dominic again.
All right, Dominic Inyart. Will do. That was Bob Dornan, U.S. Congressman, fought for life for many years. We appreciate him and are thrilled with his endorsement for our video, Focus on the Strategy, Maranatha. What a great school. One of my lifelong heroes, a 20-year congressman, worked with Ronald Reagan to fight abortion at a federal level. This is Congressman Bob Dornan. Bob, welcome to Bob Anyard Live.
Reverend Bob Anyard, for the rest of my life, I'm indebted to you. I got your documentary, Focus on the Strategy, that you gave me 7 simple words that I will never look at another piece of pro-life legislation without saying those words.
But what are those 7 words?
And then you can kill the baby.
It's a bad law if it says, and then you could kill the baby.
And then you can kill the baby. If you do this, that real notification, your documentary, everybody in America who wants to be part of a good fight, they must get that documentary on the strategy.
Thank you, Bob Dornan. That was Bob Dornan, U.S. Congressman, fought for life for many years. We appreciate him and are thrilled with his endorsement for our video, Focus on the Strategy,